We are continuing in our series today. We are continuing in our series talking about lessons we can learn from kings. And we're talking about kings that don't get talked about a lot. Because these are kings that aren't Saul, that aren't Solomon, that it's not David. These are kings, some of the lesser known kings. And we are going to continue to look. We talked about King Jeroboam last week, and we're going to continue to talk about him this morning. But as we get into that, I want you to think about something. Do you remember when you were a child, when you used to play games and pretend? Pretending can be fun. Pretending can be great. And even as adults, we have people who pretend professionally. We have actors. I think growing up, some of my favorite movies, I would sit down and watch a movie if it had Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger or Christopher Reeve. I mean, I couldn't pass up watching Conan the Barbarian, Rocky or Rambo or Superman on TV. And being young, you couldn't tell me that Michael Keaton wasn't the best Batman or Jack Nicholson wasn't the best Joker. Or who could beat Harrison Ford playing Han Solo or Indiana Jones. I mean, you just can't replace that. Those were good actors. They were people who pretended. When they pretend, and we know that they are pretending, and they know we are pretending, it can be pretty cool. But what about people who pretend, who act, and try to fool everybody else? Those type of people can be dangerous. Those type of people can be dangerous. In the New Testament, they have a word for an actor. They have a word for a person who is an actor. In the Greek, it means one who puts on a mask. Hypocrites. We use the word in our language. Hypocrite. That was what an actor was called a long time ago. A hypocrite, because they pretended. People don't just pretend now, they pretended a long time ago. And this morning, we are going to look at a king who liked to pretend. We saw it last week with King Jeroboam. He liked to pretend. Remember the story? He wanted to make sure he remained king. So he built idols. And he told everybody, he pretended that those idols were just as good or just the same as the idols that King Rehoboam had set up, which were the idols set up to worship God. He made false idols because he knew if they went back to Judah to worship, he would lose them. So he made false idols for them to worship. Said, yeah, they're just as good. But he put up these false idols pretending that they were the same, and they weren't. And if you read about King Jeroboam's life, he did a lot of evil. He did a lot of bad things. But now we're going to come to a point in his life and his story where he and his wife have a son. And this son is sick, and they're worried about him. You find the story in 1 Kings chapter 14. We're going to be there most of the day. 1 Kings chapter 14. And we're going to read about this situation with his son. King Jeroboam knows he can only find the answer in God, but he still has to pretend. He still has to lie to find out the answer. We're going to read the first 6 verses, chapter 14 of 1 Kings. And let me read to you what it says. At that time, Abijah, son of Jeroboam, became ill. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Go, disguise yourself, so you won't be recognized as the wife of Jeroboam. Then go to Shiloh. Ahijah the prophet is there, the one who told me I would be king over this people. Take 10 loaves of bread with you, some cakes and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will happen to the boy." So Jeroboam's wife did what he said and went to Ahijah's house in Shiloh. Now Ahijah could not see. His sight was gone because of his age. But the Lord had told Ahijah, "Jeroboam's wife is coming to ask you about her son, for he is ill, and you are to give her such and such an answer. When she arrives, she will pretend to be someone else." So when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps at the door, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why this pretense? I have been sent to you with bad news." Jeroboam had fooled the nation of Israel for a long time. And now he's trying to fool one of God's prophets. But God saw right through it. God saw right through it. Now, in any other case, he might have gotten away with this. Ahijah was blind. He couldn't see. So, disguising herself, it may have worked out. But God knew. God knew what was going on. And listen, we may be able to fool others, but we can't fool God. First point this morning, you cannot fool God. God knows when you're pretending, when you're lying to him. He knows it. But yet many, many people try. They try to lie to God. They try to pretend with God. Listen to what Isaiah writes about this. Isaiah records the Lord's words in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. It says, "The Lord says, 'These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men.'" God knows. God knows when people are trying to pretend to have a relationship with him. God knows when they are pretending to want to follow him. When they are more worried about pretending than doing the right thing. And that's not good. Isaiah writes in verse 15 of that same chapter, he says, "Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, 'Who sees us? Who will know?'" God knows. Because God brings light to anything in darkness. God brings light to uncover the truth, to let the truth show. People may try to hide it. We may try to hide it and say, "Oh, I'm going to get away with this." Remember, God knows. God knows what's going on. God knows the scheming and the planning. And we may say, "Oh, no, we're not scheming, we're not planning." What about when we're praying for something and it's really more of what we want than what God wants us to do? And we're praying for it in a way that's dishonest. We're wanting things that may not be right. I want a relationship with that girl, but, oh goodness, I know she's married right now, but Lord, I really want a relationship. Is there a way that it can work out that I can be with her? Let's see here. There's divorce. There's adultery in there. People are wanting the right, wrong thing and try and justify it and pray to God for it. Jesus said in Matthew 2 when he talks about giving, he says these words, "Thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. They're wanting to give, but they're not wanting to give to help the needy. They're wanting to give to look good. Everybody can see me give. We try to pretend. We try to hide. You know, they wanted their reward right then and there. And God says, Jesus says, yeah, they've already got their reward. They got it then. There's nothing eternal about what they did. The same can be said for King Jeroboam. Jeroboam concocted this plan, put all these things up, but he didn't want a relationship with God. He wanted power. He did everything to make himself look good, and he got it. But at what cost? At what cost was this? When we're worshiping, are we worshiping God because we want to? Because we have a desire to? Because we know that we need Him? Because we know that if Jesus didn't die on the cross, we wouldn't have eternal life? Or do we worship Him because, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. And if I for church, not a big deal. If I don't pray and have a full relationship with God, not a big deal. If I don't serve, not a big deal. I'll do what I can. I'll do just enough to get by where people think, okay, yeah, he's okay. She's okay. God doesn't want our just enoughs. God wants our whole heart. God wants us to long for Him and to say we need Him. And to know it. And to show it in our life. In our very actions. Because let me ask you something. Who are you worshiping for? Are you coming here to worship Jesus? Are you coming here to worship to say, yep, I look good. I was at church today. I can say if somebody asks, I was at church this morning. Why did you come to worship today? At what cost is pretending? Think of the damage pretending can do. Well, you know, for Jeroboam, it was a pretty steep cost for Jeroboam and his wife. And Ahijah the prophet was about to tell him that bad news, as they said at the end of verse 6. Let's keep reading. We're going to read verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11 of chapter 14 of 1 Kings. Go tell Jeroboam, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I raised you up from among the people and made you a leader over my people Israel. I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. But you have not been like my servant David, who keeps my commands and followed me with all his heart, doing only what is right in my eyes. You have done more evil than all who lived before you. You have made for yourself other gods, idols made of metal. You have provoked me to anger and thrust me behind your back. Because of this, I am going to bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will burn up the house of Jeroboam as one burns dung until it is all gone. Dogs will eat those belonging to Jeroboam who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. The Lord has spoken. Yikes. How would you like to be on the receiving end of that? Wow. For all of Jeroboam's scheming, his work, his plans, he already got his reward. But all that cost him everything. It cost him everything because he wanted it his way and not God's way. I wonder if Jeroboam wanted just to be marveled by the people. Look at him. He's king. He's king over Israel. Look at him. He's got great wealth. Look at him. People follow him. I wonder if he thought, that's what I want. I want people to look at me, look up at me and respect me and follow me and know I'm king and know I have the power. When he doesn't have the power, God gave it to him. God handed it over to him. He tore it from the house of David and let him be in charge. And now God's going to rip it away. God is going to rip it away. But I wonder if that was part of Jeroboam's focus. He wanted to make sure he was king by building the idols, and he wanted to make sure he kept his job instead of being killed. So instead of people disliking him, he wanted people to adore him, to worship him, to love him. And you know, my second point this morning, there's a lot of pressure in fooling others. The pressure of fooling others. I think many Christians want to be children of God, but they want to be children of God their way. They want things their way. They want to do it their ways. I love this quote from a guy named Vernon Grounds who writes for Our Daily Bread. He wrote, "A hypocrite is a person who is not himself on Sundays." Now stop and think about that one for a second. So we want to come into church and we want to look cool. We want other people to see that we're following God. We want people to think that we're doing great. Maybe we get up and read a passage of scripture in front of everybody. Maybe we go and say a prayer. Maybe we're the ones serving. Maybe we're up on stage. But people see, hey, he's a pretty good guy. He's serving. He's doing that. But then go and leave and go to the workplace and be like everybody there. So everybody will think, hey, he's a pretty good guy, pretty cool guy. Not displaying any of what he believes, just doing things so people like him. And then he goes out and hangs out with his friends and he acts a completely different way. Always putting on a different mask. Being that hypocrite. Being that actor. Pretending to be something. They want to hide. He wants to hide his imperfections, his flaws. He just wants to be looked at as somebody that everybody likes. He's a good guy. He's a good person. They want to be approved by everyone and not cause any waves. That may appear to work for a while. But the last time I checked, being good doesn't get us to heaven. Just being called a good guy doesn't get us to heaven. We got to live in the truth. Even if it may cost us a friendship. Even if it may hurt somebody. We say we're a believer and we follow God's rules. Well, what if my friend doesn't like some of God's rules? We still love them, but we must still follow God's rules. His commands, we follow His word. And we still love our neighbor. But honoring God comes first. And we love our neighbor to the best we can. But when we love our neighbor, that doesn't mean we give up God's word. Remember who made us. Remember who crafted us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them or live them, abide by them. We don't wear a mask. We shine as light, like we talked about here recently. God created us, and He wants us to share His goodness, His truth. David wrote in Psalm 139, he said, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you." Is that how we live as followers of Jesus? That one right in the middle, starting in verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. We honor God by following Him first. The pressure of fooling others is not worth it, because that means we're going against God. Don't wear a mask. Don't pretend. Show people you love Jesus. Show people that you're a child of God and that you love God and that you love them. Let's go back to our story. We're going to read verses 12 through 17, because Ahijah's not done. He's not done sharing this bad news. Listen to what he says here. "As for you, go back home. When you set foot in your city, the boy will die. All Israel will mourn for him and bury him. He is the only one belonging to Jeroboam who will be buried, because he is the only one in the house of Jeroboam in whom the Lord, the God of Israel, has found anything good. The Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel, who will cut off the family of Jeroboam. This is the day." What? Yes, even now. "And the Lord will strike Israel so that it will be like a reed swaying in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land that he gave to their forefathers and scatter them beyond the river, because they provoked the Lord to anger by making Asherah poles. And he will give Israel up because of the sins Jeroboam has committed and has caused Israel to commit." The pressure of fooling others is not worth it, since it means we will be going against God. It will destroy us. And for us, always wearing a mask, always pretending, it will destroy us as well. My third point, acting destroys your spiritual life. Acting destroys your spiritual life. People pretending on the outside, but not having anything on the inside, will destroy you. That's what Jesus was trying to tell those Jewish leaders. Matthew 23, listen to what he says. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You may look good on the outside, but on the inside is what matters. On the inside is what matters. Remember what God told Samuel when he was looking for that king? Remember, Samuel was always looking at the tallest guy, the broad-shouldered guy, the guy who looked the part. Remember what God told Samuel? 1 Samuel 16:7, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." But the Lord looks on the heart. And God knows our hearts. So why do we pretend? Jesus in Matthew 7 is recorded as saying these words, and they're pretty famous words, because they're words a lot of people who aren't believers try to use on Christians to get them not to talk to them about Jesus or talk to them about their sin. Matthew 7 verses 1 through 5. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Jesus is not saying, don't talk to other people about sin. Jesus is not saying that. A lot of people try to quote this verse to say that, but that's not what he's saying. Jesus is saying, don't be so prideful that it looks like you're looking down on them as you're better than them, saying, "Look at you, pitiful little sinner. Let me get that out of your eye. I'm in better shape than you. Here, let me just take that. Let me take that," and look down on them or talk to them. Jesus is saying, you better check yourself. Then go look at them. Then go talk to them. If Jesus didn't want us to go talk to others about our sins, then why is Matthew 18 in there saying, go to your brother when they sin? He wants us to talk to others, but we got to do it with the right attitude. Don't go do it with this mask of, I'm better than you. But go without a mask, sharing the truth in love. We read in Romans chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things." We must work on our spiritual walk and not pretend. We must strive for holiness. That's what Peter talks about. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" We must cling to what is good. Romans 12:9, "Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good." What's good? Jesus. God. Hold on to him. Actors, hypocrites, pretenders, they're pulling themselves as arm's length away from God. Want to be just close enough to say, yeah, I like God, but just far enough to say, whoa, whoa, I want to be in control. Don't be an actor. Unless everybody knows you're acting and you know everybody knows that you're acting and you're making millions of dollars on TV. Yeah, do that. Go play Superman or Rocky or Batman or whoever. Indiana Jones. Okay, go be an actor that way. Don't be this type of actor. Don't be the one who is trying to pretend to get the advantage. Who is trying to fool to make themselves look better. When they're only worried about themselves. Because let me tell you, those type of actors, we see what happens to King Jeroboam. Jeroboam was destroyed. What happened when his wife took that first step in? His son Abijah died. Just as God said. Just as he said. Thank goodness we can also follow God's word and see what else he says. Like in Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. That means take off the mask and go to God and say, I'm a sinner. I've done a lot of wrong. I've hurt a lot of people. I've done a lot of bad things. I've made a lot of mistakes. I'm not perfect. I'm no better than anybody else. In fact, sometimes I feel like I may be worse. Thank goodness that non-perfect people can have hope and salvation. Thank goodness for the grace given to us from God. Thank goodness for Jesus. Thank goodness for Jesus. Where would we be without him? And we can receive that grace. We won't have to worry about that mask. Because people will see, as I've talked about before, that light, God's light. People can see Jesus. They don't have to see us. They can see Jesus. They don't have to see a mask pretending. They can see Jesus. And that's what we want. We want people, when they see us, to see Jesus. Period. As Ahijah said, we don't need pretense. We just need Jesus. So now we're going to offer a time of invitation. Somebody can come forward, or people can come forward that need Jesus. You can come forward and accept him as Lord. Start repenting. Confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Be baptized into him. Start a new walk. Start a new life in Jesus. You can do that today. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. I ask you all to stand. And we're going to close out that this morning.